From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Corporations linked to President Donald Trump's administration have had great success in lobbying his government for coronavirus-related funds. The president, who came to power claiming he would drain the swamp, now appears to be drowning in a swamp of corporate lobbyists who, according to a new report, scored at least $10 billion in taxpayer funding for COVID-19-related government expenditures. My guest is Taylor Lincoln, Research Director of the Congress Watch Division of Public Citizen. He's co-authored the new report called COVID Lobbying Palooza. Welcome to the program, Taylor.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what are the funds that you examined? I mean, there are these small business loans, the PPP loans, the funding set aside in the CARES Act for corporations that were hit because of closures. Specifically, what were the funds that your report examined?
Well, we didn't make too much of an issue of distinguishing between the many COVID-related stimulus or support programs. Very little, if any, of the money that we found was from the PPP, which is meant for ordinary small businesses to keep their employees on the payroll. And most of the money that we found was from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and HHS to hospitals and large institutions, also money that was in a carve-out in the CARES Act that went to airlines. So we found billions of dollars that went to airlines.
So money that had either already been appropriated for government agencies that we expect would deal with the crisis at hand, or also that government had set aside, Congress had set aside in some of the new bills that had been passed, and you found that
all the money that we talk about came from the new bills that have been passed, or the elements really of the CARES Act that have been passed to put a floor under the economy in response to the COVID crisis.
So you also looked at funds that have been used for developing vaccines, providing PPE for healthcare workers, the kinds of funds that we would want our government to spend to take care of us when it comes to a pandemic. But it turns out who got those funds mattered. And you found there were 40 lobbyists with connections directly to figures in the Trump administration. Tell me about these lobbyists.
Right. So I want to make a preface to say that we did not have a finding that organizations that shouldn't have gotten funds necessarily shouldn't have. That's an entirely different study. Okay. But what we looked at is lobbyists who were closely connected to Donald Trump that lobbied on COVID issues. And it wasn't solely the finding of a report whether they got funds, but I think about 27 of them out of about 150 clients that are represented by these Trump-connected lobbyists did get money. And I think you may have asked, like, who are the lobbyists? Was that what you were asking?
Yeah.
Right. So we found 40 lobbyists who were connected to Trump either by his 2016 campaign, they were on his transition team to become the president, they were on his inaugural committee, the one that's been the source of so much controversy and investigation because tens of millions of dollars are unaccounted for, or they were in his administration, or their fundraisers for Donald Trump. So those are that was the universe of lobbyists that we studied. And those lobbyists, 40 of them ended up representing just primarily in the first quarter with a few update reports for the second quarter of 2020 have lobbied on some nature of COVID issues. And I should say it's almost certainly undercount just because by lobbying disclosure, some of them would say COVID relief funds or the CARES Act. Others may have used more generic terms that we couldn't really pin to the pandemic, but probably were. They might have said small business issues or something, and we couldn't count them.
And just for those in our audience who aren't paying attention to the details of how Washington, D.C. works, these are people who, lobbyists are people who tout their connections to the government often, to be paid high dollar value by corporations to get access to funding or power and influence. Corporate lobbyists are essentially those go-betweens, right, between private industry and the government. And they're often, rightfully so, the focus of ire, political ire. There's a lot of political theatrics that elected officials engage in denouncing corporate lobbyists. But of course, they end up working with them because there is a lot of quid pro quo, a lot of give and take, what many would call corruption. Trump came into office saying that he was going to drain the swamp. And he, in fact, didn't he sign an executive order prohibiting lobbyists from directly lobbying his government?
He didn't quite sign an executive order saying that, although that was sort of the impression that he gave towards the tail end of his campaign when he talked about draining the swamp. And then about a week into his presidency, he signed an executive order that placed what appeared to be pretty strict restrictions on anybody that he appointed to his government, then leaving the government and coming back and lobbying. Now, when you read the executive order closely, it was a little bit narrower than people may have thought at first blush. However, it wasn't that narrow. And I think one of the compelling things about our report is that we found five lobbyists who we have a strong reason to suspect have violated the terms of the executive order because, for the most part, because they're listed on forms as having lobbied the agencies that they left. And if in fact they did, and there's a little bit of a lack of precision in the forms, we can't necessarily be sure, but if they did, they violated the executive order. And without getting into too much nuance, there are some other aspects to it where if they worked behind the scenes for their firms that lobbied that agency, which we know they did by the forms, then there's also a pretty strong likelihood that the firms are in violation of the executive order.
Going back to the question about who the lobbyists were, what sort of revolving door exists between the Trump administration and these individuals who end up taking money from corporations to influence Trump? Are there former staffers of the Trump administration, former officials who are now working, to ensure that private industries have a foothold?
Yeah, well, all sorts of them. And that is what our reports found. So, for instance, of the people that we found to be in violation, three were high-ranking officials at the Treasury Department. Another one was the chief lobbyist for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. So these are folks that held high positions in the government. A third one, I believe, was the chief of staff to Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao. So these are people that held high positions in the Trump administration. They were actually in jobs often where their job while in the administration was to interface with Congress, and now they've moved on to a lobbying career and are being undoubtedly paid what most people would consider to be enormous sums to get things for their clients from the federal government, which is the exact definition of what most people would think of as fostering, fomenting the swamp that Trump criticized, and they are acting in 180 degrees different than what Donald Trump promised, although I don't think many of us took his promise very seriously at the beginning.
Trump has been touting a warp speed vaccine. There are a number of private companies working on a vaccine for the coronavirus. How many of them and how many instances did you find that corporate lobbyists linked to Trump ensured that their clients got the funding for vaccine development?
Right. A lot. No, I want to be clear again. We don't necessarily know if they got funding for the vaccine, although two of the firms that are represented by the lobbyists have been named among the five finalists that the government has sort of put up on a pedestal to be chosen or that they say has the best chance to develop a vaccine. And I would assume that they're receiving federal support. We found about 15 clients that are working on either a COVID vaccine or other COVID therapeutics, ironically, at least two of them, hydroxychloroquine, the drug that Trump talked about so much until it was disproven, or that they are making COVID-related tests. And those tests often rely on the approval of the government to get sanctioned to be able to be used. So a number of lobbyists work for clients that make those exact products. And I think that's one of the things that's compelling about a report. And one of the things that you said at the outset is that these are people, lobbyists, that are viewed with a lot of suspicion by the public, that act as sort of go-betweens between the companies and the government. And while there's nothing wrong per se with having representation, it becomes suspicious when so many of these companies are hiring the president's friends while they're working on something of intense sensitivity and potentially a big potential financial windfall. Basically feel compelled, really, to hire the president's friends. And it makes you wonder, well, what do you get for hiring the president's friends? And then on the contrary, who isn't getting selected because they didn't hire the president's friends? I mean, I think what we would want is, we don't know for sure one way or the other how logical and fair the government is being in choosing who's being elevated towards making a vaccine. But I think that basically 100% of Americans would want that decision to be made on merit, not based on which lobbyists you hired.
What is the link between some of the corporate lobbyists that your report identified and those who are fundraising directly for the Republican National Committee?
Right. So two of the lobbyists that we identified are among the most interesting. They are interesting. They're Brian Ballard and Jeffrey Miller, who are individuals who have been involved in politics for a long time. Brian Ballard also was Donald Trump's lobbyist in the state of Florida, but neither of whom had ever lobbied the federal government before January of 2017, when Donald Trump was inaugurated. And now Ballard, his firm, has the most clients of any lobbying firm in Washington. And as you know, lobbying's been around a long time in Washington, and he has the most clients of all, including, I think, 14 that we counted on the coronavirus. Those clients are all brand new to the firm. Miller's firm has about a dozen. Many of them are brand new to the firm. Also, between them, lobbying on interesting specialized things like licensing or approvals from the federal government for their clients. And those two are among the biggest fundraisers of all for Donald Trump.
Wow.
And there's a disclosure requirement that lobbyists indicate when they have, quote unquote, bundled money for a campaign, which is kind of a big word for fundraising, but bundled means that it's kept track of how much money you raise. And between Ballard and Miller, they've bundled about $5 million for the 2020 campaign to either Trump or to the Republican National Committee, which is kind of one and the same, because the Republican National Committee's job is to get Trump elected. And in Miller's case, he may be Donald Trump's biggest fundraiser of all. And then actually another lobbyist that hasn't been as active on COVID, but is to a degree active on lobbying on COVID, is the head of the Trump Victory Committee, which is that is Trump's chief reelection committee. And he also has been a big contributor to one of the super PACs that was allowed by the Citizens United decision that supports Donald Trump. So three of these lobbyists are at the very core of Donald Trump's fundraising activities. And what's significant about that is you just have a real opportunity, a real risk, a likelihood even of conflict of interest, because Trump, on the one hand, is relying on them to raise money for him, and they are asking Trump's government for things for their clients. And I think a person would reasonably say, even in the best of circumstances, can we count on the government to be objective and impartial in handling their clients when the head of the government is relying on those lobbyists? And I say that in the best of circumstances, we'd be suspicious of that. If you're like me, you're suspicious of Trump more than in the best of circumstances anyways. And so I don't feel good at all about that.
We had heard a lot about the meatpacking industry successfully lobbying the Trump administration to obtain status and be considered an essential industry. Are there other companies using Trump-linked lobbyists? I see that your report found several that have been lobbying the Trump administration to be granted the same status that would, you know, essentially enable them to force their workers back on the job without having the liability linked to if they get infected with coronavirus.
Right. And I don't think that we found it in the meatpacking industry. If we had, it certainly would have been in there. Mm-hmm. But we did find four or five cases where the lobbyists specifically indicated they were lobbying on winning that essential industry designation. And a couple of interesting ones. One is the lobbyist, Brian Ballard, who I mentioned before. And he represents a company that makes commercial laundry equipment, the types of which you would use if you went to a laundromat in your town. And an initial memo on the 19th of March by the Department of Homeland Security ran down its assessment of which industries were essential and therefore would be given special status in terms of being permitted to stay open and so forth. And laundry wasn't on that list. 2 days later, that company hired Brian Ballard. And about 7 days after that company hired Brian Ballard, the Department of Homeland Security came out with a follow-up memo that had been edited and amended, and laundry was then included. And then another one who's, I think would be of interest to your viewers, is Shannon McGann. She is the wife of Don McGann, who was the White House counsel that we heard about during the impeachment hearings. Don McGann, we believe, was the author of Trump's executive order laying out lobbying restrictions. Well, Shannon McGann was an advisor to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. She left, and after an interim job, she became the lobbyist for the National Association of Realtors. And the National Association of Realtors, she lobbied for essential industry status, which the realty industry received. And I would add, just as a matter of trivia, that another one of the people whom we filed a complaint against or a request for investigation of was Shannon McGann, because the executive order, like I said, it prevents you both from making contacts with the agency that you left, but it also prevents you from being involved in the planning and supervision of lobbying regarding that agency. And she is the head of the National Association of Realtors office. So there's a very strong likelihood that she would have acted in a way that violated the executive order that her husband, we think, wrote.
It's quite remarkable to see this report in its, you know, sort of stepping back and looking at these nefarious links between these corporate lobbyists and the Trump administration and the clients they represent. Are you surprised that our corporate media has not been covering this well enough? I mean, I know that your report has gotten some good coverage in the media, but before that, it seems as though Public Citizen did the work that would have expected, like the Washington Post or the New York Times to do.
I can't really criticize them. I mean, the word got out there well enough that your group heard about it and called us. The Associated Press wrote a piece on it, and it's been picked up widely in the major papers. And the Times, actually, to its credit, actually has a piece, just coincidentally, having nothing to do with us, today, that's quite similar. It's just a small twist of the cube, talking about lobbyists who are have made a fortune during the Trump administration, who are part of Trump's 2020 campaign. So I'm not sure that I have an axe to grind with the media yet on this one. I think the word's getting out there about this. And I think the report strikes a chord for the reasons that you mentioned at the outset, which is just that, not that anybody really believed it, but Trump did ride in saying he was going to drain the swamp. And this is the embodiment of what most people would think of when they think of the swamp.
Taylor, where can people find the report and read it for themselves?
Yeah, very simply. If you just go to www.citizen.org, and if you go to our news feed, that'll give you a link to our press releases, and it'll be right there. You'll be able to link right through the report.
We'll also link to it directly from our website. Thank you so much
Wonderful.
For joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest has been Taylor Lincoln, Research Director of the Congress Watch Division of Public Citizen, co-author of the new report we've been discussing, COVID Lobbying Palooza. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.